Fraud is not only proliferating, but scammers and their schemes are becoming more sophisticated and successful as the perpetrators get better and better at exploiting your trust. Outsmarting the Scammers, Helping Seniors Fight Fraud is 99.3 County FM's effort to educate listeners on what to watch for, steps to take to avoid being scammed, and what to do if you're a victim of fraud. We partnered with the Prince Edward County Detachment of the OPP, the Prince Edward County Community Care for Seniors Association, and the Municipality of the County of Prince Edward to create this six-part documentary series. Each week, we'll explore a common type of scam, hear from victims and their families, and learn some tips on how we can protect ourselves. 99.3 County FM's radio series, Outsmarting the Scammers, Helping Seniors Fight Fraud, is funded by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.
The last few weeks, we've talked about online fraud, email fraud, romance and emergency scams, and in-person con games targeting seniors. We've also learned how prevalent fraud has become within our community and met some of the people and businesses committed to keeping our seniors safe. Today, we'll explore identity fraud and an emerging type of fraud targeting property owners and how happenstance helped one county resident avoid having a property she owned in the United States being sold out from under her. Kathy P. had an eye-opening experience, to say the least. A scammer assumed her husband's identity and worked closely with a real estate agent to list a Florida property they owned. Had Kathy and her husband not been present, they may not have noticed until it was too late.
I think the most dramatic one was in 2021. We do have a place in Florida as well. We own a home and we bought the lot right beside it. And my husband went out one day to get the paper and came back in and said, "Oh, I see the lot's for sale next door." And since there was another vacant lot, I assumed he meant the vacant lot that didn't belong to us. But no, it was our lot that had a for sale sign on it. Neither one of us wanted to sell it. We were quite happy to get it at the time. And we phoned the real estate agent and someone had appropriated our name, our address, and all our details and had contracted with this real estate agent to sell the lot. We both had to go out. I came back and I phoned the real estate agent because still at this point, I'm thinking that he's just made a mistake. He put the sign on the wrong lot. And I asked him what number on the street and he told me my lot. And I said, "Well, I don't think so because I own that lot. And it's not for sale." And he goes, "Oh, well, it was a very nice Canadian couple." And he sent us all the documentation that he had received from this man, I think, primarily. And it was all e-documents. And when you buy a home now, you just do everything online. It's all through e-documents. So yes, they signed our signature. You know, we're trying to perpetrate this fraud. And we tend to stay later than most Canadians do in Florida. We think that they targeted us and maybe other Canadians because they thought we'd already be gone by that point. And even our next door neighbor, who we were very friendly with, walked his dog past and thought, "Oh, they're trying to sell the lot." He didn't pay any attention to it either. So that was one incident. We called the police.
Identity fraud is on the rise, big time. According to Equifax, identity theft accounted for more than 75% of all reported fraud in 2023, up from 65% over the previous year. While the most prevalent type of identity fraud has to do with banking, loans, and credit applications, title fraud is becoming more common. You may have heard about it on the news, as several cases popped up in Toronto, one involving a complex mortgage fraud scheme, and another featuring renters who moved into a home with the express purpose of selling it out from under its absentee owners. During its investigation, the CBC learned that organized crime groups were behind the scams and that almost 30 homes were sold or mortgaged without the owner's knowledge. If the scammers are successful, the rightful owner will lose their rights to the property and the equity in it until the title can be restored. Seniors who rent their properties are at high risk for this type of fraud, as many tend to be too trusting of people in their lives or otherwise unaware of how this can happen. The Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre offers a few tips to help prevent identity theft. First, be careful of who you share your personal information with. The more a fraudster knows about you, the easier it will be for them to slip into your business. They also suggest to check bank and credit card statements regularly so that you can identify any anomalies. Shred all documents containing personal information before putting them in the trash. Pick up your mail regularly. Don't let it sit unretrieved in the mailbox. Lastly, notify the post office and all relevant institutions and service providers if you change your address. If you're a victim of title fraud, or any kind of identity fraud for that matter, it can be very costly and complicated to undo the damage. Your best bet is to be aware of it so you can recognize the signs before it goes too far. Unfortunately, the nature of how many deals are done these days works to the scammer's advantage. Because most applications and paperwork are submitted online, realtors often never meet the seller face-to-face.
It was all done online, and a telephone number was given to him, and I did the reverse lookup. It turned out it was a number from Montreal, but you know, with spoofing, that could have been anywhere in the world. So he had no clue that this wasn't a legitimate thing.
Spoofing is a process by which a caller can make an incoming call look like it's from anywhere. It's easily accomplished with voiceover IP software and was originally created so that businesses could gain trust when entering new markets. Of course, scammers latch onto anything that makes their job easier. It might seem like a small detail, but in this case, it's one layer in a larger scheme to convince someone to take the next step. Unfortunately, Kathy's experience with identity theft did not end there.
This also happened to us again this past spring. A real estate agent sent us a letter saying that she believed that someone was trying to sell our lot fraudulently, just to make us aware of this.
And what was it the real estate agent picked up on?
Well, the first real estate agent didn't pick up on anything. It was me calling him saying, I assure you, I am the owner and I'm right at the property at this time. You can come look at our identification. We had our passports, you know, the whole bit. And he believed us.
What about the second real estate agent?
Thankfully, the person was stupid. The real estate agent sent my husband through email what she was sent as proof of Canadian citizenship and being this person. Because online in the United States, you can find out information about anything practically. All of our Canadian addresses all listed and our names. So he just used that and did a mock-up of a Canadian passport and a driver's license. This was of my husband. And I can assure you, my husband is far more attractive than this gentleman was. His signature on the passport was Oprah Winfrey. And that twigged the real estate agent. I think that there's something phony about this. I'm thinking that it may have been just one of those automatic signatures that you can get online that will auto-fill in. But I just laughed. I said to my husband, does that say Oprah Winfrey? He goes, that's how I'm reading it.
You would think that any real estate agent would pick up on this.
You would hope so, yeah. And she did. So we were very grateful that she's notifying us. This is still ongoing. The first time it happened, the police were not interested in the States or in Canada at all. This time, they did seem to be investigating it more in the States. We haven't heard anything. The first time, we were still at our home in Florida. The second time, we'd already come home and just received a letter. But the first time, I called the police, and an officer came out. I explained to him what had happened. He goes, well, you know, no harm, no foul. And I said, well, this is attempted fraud. And he goes, yeah, but you aren't out anything. I wasn't terribly impressed. This time, apparently, they've opened a report.
How did you contact them?
My husband did via just the phone because we were in Canada.
From Canada.
Yeah, from
Canada. To the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why they took it more seriously this time?
Well, he had told my husband that there's such a huge amount of this going on. And even the county where we have our property, they have instituted a program where you register with them in your property. And if there's any changes made to your property, you are notified immediately by email. But that doesn't help you if they've already changed the ownership on it. But that is just one thing, but it's sort of after the fact, which just means you have to spend money with lawyers getting your property back.
Have you had to spend any money to handle this?
No, luckily it's been nipped in the bud, as they say. So we've been very grateful that one, we were there initially, and then the second time there was a real estate agent who was actually paying attention. Also, we've notified all of our neighbors. You know, if you see a sign going up on that, notify us immediately.
So what are you doing now to try and prevent this from happening again?
That's about the only thing we can do, because, you know, we have no control over these scammers trying to assume our identity. And in the first case, he didn't ask for identification. He had the correct name and address in Canada. He assumed they were who they said they were, whereas this woman asked for identification. So it means that they must be getting a little bit more attuned to what's happening in their area. But I don't think it's something that is unusual anywhere in North America or the world, perhaps. There's always people who are trying to assume your identity and get something from it. We've bought a few properties in the last few years, and you always buy mortgage insurance, but you go through your lawyer, and basically they will do a special policy that insures your property against someone assuming it, you know, up to a certain value.
Now, we talked a little bit about how fraudsters are able to steal your identity. Since most of it is done online or through digital means, preventing it means you must pay close attention to what you share and how you share it. The Canadian Centre for Cybersecurity lists the top four methods by which a malicious actor can obtain the information they need to perpetrate frauds in your name. Phishing is number one. This is where a scammer calls, texts, emails, or messages you on social media to trick you into clicking a malicious link or sharing sensitive information. Social engineering is a more personalized phishing attack targeting you specifically. The scammer might know information about you and use it to trick you into sharing your details. Third-party breaches occur when your network or an online account is breached and your information is exposed. If this happens, the scammer might be able to gain control of your username, your password, and any other information held within the breached account. If you're the kind of person who uses the same username and password combination for all your accounts, the damage could be far-reaching. Deepfakes are another tactic that's on the rise. This is where a fraudster uses artificial intelligence to impersonate you or someone you know. Seniors targeted by grandparent or emergency scams often say the person they spoke to sounded just like the person they were pretending to be. In any case, your best defense is to use online security tools to protect your home network. Use a virtual private network app when using public Wi-Fi and secure your online accounts using multi-factor authentication. For information on how to do any of the above, visit cyber.gc.ca.
What has been the impact of this fraud on you and your husband?
It just makes you so leery. Right now I get scam emails, probably 20 a day, and I just go delete, delete, delete. I'm just loath to open anything I don't recognize. And, you know, you get a letter from the real estate and you're hoping it's just a solicitation and not telling you that somebody's trying to steal your property. It makes you more leery. I mean, the older you get, the more you see and you realize life is not quite as safe as it used to be. It's a lot messier. You know, you have to be much more on top of things. You can't let anything slide, which is a shame because I'm retired. My husband's retired. We should be
sliding.
Yeah, we should be sliding. Yes.
Seniors are incredibly vulnerable to identity fraud, and title fraud is one of the most devastating ways in which it can occur. More seniors today are choosing to age in place, to stay in their homes where they have the financial security of their home's equity. Seniors' homes are attractive to fraudsters because they are often paid off. It's also true because the senior has been in their home for decades, they may not have title insurance. Before 1991, it was not common. These days, it is often purchased when a property closes. If title fraud is perpetrated against a senior's property, it can be disastrous. The legal fees and effort to restore the title can be monumental, and you won't have access to the equity in your home to cover it. Speak to your insurance broker to find out how you can protect yourself. As always, awareness and protection are your best defense. If you are a Prince Edward County resident and have been a victim of fraud, call our local OPP detachment at 613-476-2151, 613-476-2151. If you've been targeted by fraud, report it to the Anti-Fraud Centre immediately by visiting www.antifraudcentre.ca, that's antifraudcentre.ca, or by calling 1-888-495-8501. That's 1-888-495-8501. Your bank, the OPP, and local business owners want to keep you safe from fraud, so don't hesitate to ask for help. Join us next time when we'll wrap up our 6-part series with more stories from the community and tips on how to prevent fraud from our trusted partners here in Prince Edward County.
99.3 County FM, your nonprofit, community, volunteer-driven radio station, is proud to provide a platform for the voices of our community. The 6-part series, Outsmarting the Scammers, Helping Seniors Fight Fraud, will be available to stream in its entirety on our website at 993countyfm.ca after each episode airs. Some names of those interviewed have been changed at their request. Thank you to our 99.3 County FM production team. Scripts by Astrid Young. Interviews by Renee Wiseman-Stanners, Lynn Pickering, Brenda Little, Ken Palmer, and Krista Hepburn. Narration by Wendy Mesley. Host Jim J.J. Johnson. Music by Dustin Crenna. Production by Dave Wheatley. Other production and research, Jillian Carson, Helen Morris, Gage Broderick, Craig Mills, Lorraine Wilson, and Sherry Gervin. Thank you to all the members of our community and service organizations for sharing their stories.